chapter 2 in your Bibles. Joshua chapter 2 in your Bibles. We want to spend some time this morning looking at a scarlet thread of hope. A scarlet thread of hope. Joshua chapter 2, I'll start with verse 1, read down through verse 13. A familiar account to us. Joshua has come into the land and he sends the spies in to spy out the land and to spy and see what the city of Jericho was like, because they know that's going to be their first great battle. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass that about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, and ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them under the roof, and she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For as we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God of heaven above and earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." Let's pray together. Our Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of opening it today. Lord, we ask, as we look at this account of Rahab and the spies and the hope that you gave her, Lord, we ask that you'd help us to see in it some truths for us that will make a difference in our lives. Bless our time together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Often we read accounts in Scripture, and we don't stop to think about the individuals that we're reading about. We know that by the account here in Joshua chapter 1, and that the children of Israel came across the Jordan River. Someplace between 2 and 3 million, we're not sure how many, but there was a great host of them. Encamped at Gilgal there on the banks of the Jordan River, not far from Jericho. As they came, the inhabitants of Jericho and the other inhabitants of the land certainly knew and understood that a mighty nation had come into their country. Because the children of Israel, by number, outnumbered most of the nations in the land. We see that most times, that three times, there's three different coalitions of kings and nations come together against them, each one defeated. But the first obstacle, of course, is the fortress city of Jericho. Inside this city is a woman we have here named Rahab. We don't know anything about her before we come to this part of Scripture, but we know by description her name is Rahab the harlot. Now, I don't know, and the Bible is silent, about what brought her to the place where she's called Rahab the harlot. We see no mention of a husband. We see mention of parents, brothers, sisters, extended family. It seems she has a home on the wall of the city from the fact of the window that's let down. It seems that her home goes out to the very top of the parapets of the walls, because it was there she went up and hid the men under the flax. Before the two spies came in, she lived a life that was pretty much a life of degradation and hopelessness. I'm sure she looked at her life, she thought, I have no hope for a family. The life that I've lived, I have no hope for a husband. I have no hope for generations to come looking back at me as the mother of those generations. I have no hope. Sad today, we live in a society which has no hope. We live in a society that looks at themselves and say, I have no hope, because I look at my life and I see what is it going to amount to? I have no hope because I look and I say, what are the generations to come going to be? But sadly, and more important than all those, they think, I have no hope beyond this life. I have no hope in eternity. Remember, we said hope is not just a nebulous pie in the sky. I think so, I hope so, maybe. But hope is a confident expectation and a definite outcome. When the Bible speaks of hope, it doesn't speak of a questionable outcome, but a definite outcome. Rahab had no hope. Her hopelessness was now compounded by the fact that the nation of Israel had come into the country, and she firmly believed that they would destroy the city of Jericho. Let's look first of all at the need for hope. In verses 12 and 13, she says, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death." The need from hope. She understood without hope, she and her family, her parents, her brothers, her sisters, we don't know how many. Maybe there's even nieces and nephews involved. There probably were. Would die along with every other citizen of the city of Jericho when the children of Israel came and took the city. She firmly believed that. There's a need for hope. Death was coming. Scripture says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We understand that our world today puts their hope in eternity in the religion that they adhere to. They put their hope in eternity in the good deeds that they do. Maybe they put their hope in eternity in the fact that they live in a country that's called a Christian country. But when they quietly by themselves lay their head on that pillow at night, and they're honest with themselves and with God for those few moments before they go to sleep, they understand religion does not bring them hope. Family does not bring them hope. Good deeds do not bring them hope, because they understand that should they die, they would go to eternity without Christ. There was a need for hope. This woman said, "You're the only hope I have. I'm going to die without your help." There was the need for hope. But then we find in The next portion of the scripture in chapter 2, the promise of hope. Verse 14, let me read down through a few verses. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the wall, town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold," here's the promise, "when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household into thy home. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thine house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we'll be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." Rahab knew she had a need for hope. She knew that her life would end with the attack on the city of Jericho without the assistance of these men. And so she hid them under the flax on the roof. She lied to the guards that came and told them, "No, they're gone." And then she brought them down and said, "You have to escape from the city. You have to go out and hide yourselves 3 days. But I'm concerned what's going to happen when you return. What's going to happen when the armies of Israel invade and the city of Jericho is taken? How am I going to know that you're going to save me and my family?" He said, "When we come in the land, and it will happen." See the rope hanging out the window? Hanging down the side of the wall. And she said, "When we come, take this rope that's hung down. Take a piece of scarlet thread. And take that thread and wrap that around that rope going down. And that'll be a token to the men that come into the city that you and your family in this house, everyone in this house, will be saved when we see the scarlet thread." Scarlet's an interesting color in the Bible. We went back and last Sunday we looked at the worm, the scarlet worm that dyed the tree where it laid its eggs. But now we see a scarlet thread. Scarlet, of course, is red. It speaks of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have Old Testament types, things in the Old Testament that look forward to Christ. And this scarlet thread is an Old Testament type looking forward to the death of Christ on the cross, his blood that was shed. Because the Bible says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." See, we're saved by the blood, as we sing about that, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Here now, in the city of Jericho, there was no salvation from death to anyone except those who were under the scarlet thread. Everyone else would die. Only those that were under the scarlet thread. There was a promise of hope. Said, "Rahab, we will not forget you. We will not neglect this." But the third thing we see is the action of hope. We saw the need for hope, the promise of hope, and the action of hope. And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them on her way and departed. Notice the first thing that she did. And she bound the scarlet thread, scarlet line, in the window. She believed. She bound the scarlet line in the window. She believed, and she took action. The action of hope. I don't believe she waited an hour, a day, a week, or a month. I believe immediately after they went, she pulled that cord back up out of the window. She took the scarlet thread that she had in her home there, and she began to take that thread and tie that thread and wound that thread around that cord that she dropped them out of the window. She says, I don't want to be unprepared, because it may be tomorrow, it may be next week, it may be a month before they come back and attack the city. But I don't want to be taken unawares. Be prepared. In the Bible, we see not that long before this, 40 some years, the children of Israel were in Egypt. And God told them that this night the death angel is going to pass through the land of Egypt. And unless there's blood on the lintel and the doorposts of your home, the firstborn in that home will die. You need to be prepared. I don't know what happened in the homes. But without a doubt, there were some homes, even among the children of Israel, who said, who is this Moses to tell us what we have to do? And they refused to put the blood on the lintel and the doorposts. And because of their refusal, a loved one died. While the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness, the children of Israel were complaining, and God sent serpents into the camp, and they bit people. And the people, they came to Moses, what do we do? And Moses came to God and said, God said, make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, put it out in the midst of the camp where everybody can see it. And whoever looks at that serpent on the pole will be cured of the snake bite and will live. But without a doubt, there were those who said, that's a bunch of foolishness. How can looking at a serpent on a pole make someone to live? And they refused to carry their loved one out of the tent where they could see the pole and the serpent, and their loved one died. See, hope requires action. If you're going to have a hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, it requires you to take some action. Now, we're not saved by works. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. But it takes us making a choice. It takes us choosing to believe that we are sinners by birth and sinners by choice. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It takes us understanding that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and paid for our sins. It takes us believing that for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and taking that action of bowing our head and praying and trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. For without doing that, there is no hope of eternal life. There's not a hope of eternal life, as I said, in religion or family or good deeds. Rahab took the action of hope. She believed. She believed these men were coming back. She believed that the nation of Israel would destroy the city of Jericho. And she took action. Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of Rahab. In verse 31, it says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. Rahab did not perish. Why? Because she believed and she took action. We see, go with me to Joshua chapter 6. There's some things happening between here, but in Joshua chapter 6, we see the attack, of course, on Jericho. And down in verse 17, we find Joshua is giving instruction to the soldiers that will enter the land, and we see the reality of hope. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. Look at verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her household and left them without the camp of Israel. the reality of hope. Rahab was on the wall. Her window was on the wall. She saw that first day when the children of Israel, the men, 600 and some thousand men of the nation of Israel, left Gilgal and marched up and walked around the city once and went back. I'm sure we use the phrase, her heart was in her throat when she saw them come, because she thought, this is the day. This is going to happen. But they went back. The next day they did the same thing. The third day they did the same thing. The fourth, the fifth, the sixth. On the seventh day, people in the city of Jericho were kind of used to it. I'm sure they were hurling some insults. But on the seventh day, they went around once, and they're waiting for him to, once they made the trip, to follow that path that they'd worn quite well now, going back to Gilgal, but they didn't. They started going around the second time. I'm sure they called to one another on the wall and said, look what's going on. They didn't go back home today. They're going around again. And they went again, and again, and five, and six, and seven times. By this time, they had the attention of every individual in the city of Jericho. They blew the trumpets, gave a great shout. Picture with me now what happened. The walls of the city of Jericho came down. The children sing about the walls came tumbling down. But one section of the walls did not come down. I don't know sure just how it looked, but there was a section of wall that Rahab's house was upon that did not crumble, because had it crumbled, she would have died in the rubble along with her family. But the wall stayed there. Two young men who had come and spied out the land. I'm not sure how they got to her house, if there was still a stairway leading up to there. Must have been. We're given the assignment to go and bring her and everyone she had out of that house. They came, and throughout the city was a cry, a clash of armor and swords, and throughout the city were the wails of those that were dying. But in the house of Rahab was peace, because death would not visit that house. Why? Because of the scarlet thread of hope. Death would not visit that house that day, even though it visited every other individual in the city of Jericho. They came and they left her outside the camp. Back in chapter 2 and verse 13. And she will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that have, and deliver our lives from death. That was all she was hoping. That was all she was expecting, that they would be delivered from the city of Jericho, left in the wilderness. But we find the Bible doesn't end there. You know, as we're faithful to God, God always rewards more than we deserve. For we see that our last thought here is the descendants of hope. See, God did not leave Rahab and her family outside the camp. They became part of the nation, insomuch that we see that in Matthew chapter 5, looking at the genealogies of Christ, Matthew chapter 1, I'm sorry, in verse 5, it says, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rachab, the New Testament spelling for Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and on down through the descendants. Think with me now. this woman was living a life of degradation in the city of Jericho. She had no hope in the city of Jericho. She heard that the children of Israel had entered the land. Maybe from her window she could see the encampment off by the River Jordan. She knew that they were coming to destroy the city. The city was scared to death, the city as a whole. Because they knew the great things that God did as they came through the Red Sea and the Jordan River, how they had defeated the gods, the Amorites. They said, the city of Jericho has no hope against them. She said, I have no hope. But then she had some visitors one day. Two men came in to spy out the land. She pleaded with them and she said, you know what? They said, there's hope. A scarlet thread of hope. There's hope for you. There's hope for your family. That should put your trust in the scarlet thread. People today live without hope. Not only did Rahab not die, but her mother did not die in the city of Jericho. Her father, her brothers, her sisters, we said it doesn't mention it, but probably nieces and nephews. But God had plans for Rahab beyond that. Because God had a man in the nation of Israel named Solomon. Not Solomon, but Salmon. S-A-L-M-O-N. And Solomon married her, brought her into the line of Christ. One of only four women in the line of Christ that's mentioned in the New Testament. An honored position. I'm sure she never expected to be accepted by the children of Israel. She never expected to come into the camp. She never expected, certainly, someone to marry her. Even though she did not know down the line through the hundreds of years, she certainly never expected that from her would come King David. From King David, the Messiah that she learned about. See, today there's a need for hope. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's a promise of hope. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hope is real. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I'm sure that was the case in Rahab's life. The old things were passed away. She had a new life. Hope is real. And hope can change the next generations. Hope can change the next generations. You know, think not only of Rahab, but think of her brothers, her sisters, her parents. Think of their children. I think Rahab never got tired of telling the story of the scarlet thread. I'm sure when nieces and nephews came over, she told them about the scarlet thread. I'm sure when children were born to her and Solomon, as soon as they were able to listen, she told them about the scarlet thread. When's the last time we told someone about the scarlet thread of salvation? Told someone there's hope for them in Jesus Christ. Told someone that you only need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you have hope in this life and hope for eternity. The scarlet thread of hope. Two kinds of people in the world today. Those with the hope in Jesus Christ, a confident expectation, and those without hope. Who've never trusted Christ as their Savior. Living life. They're good people probably. But they have no hope in Jesus Christ because they've never trusted Him as their personal Savior. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?